Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. The championship is in full swing with a third game in a week for Reading as they travel to Aston Villa on Saturday. The Royals themselves, though, are yet to get into full swing as they remain winless in the league. Will that change in the Midlands? My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and for the first time this season, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by the Working Papers' Tom Crocker. Good to have you back, Tom. How's it going?
Yeah, Greg and Ollie, good to both be around at the same time to do a podcast. It feels like it's been quite a while, I think, now.
Yeah, and I think we started the season with you on holiday, and I was on holiday last week, but perhaps the two of us not being together has meant that Reading have not picked up a win so far.
Yeah, it's getting on for sort of 4 months since we last had one together, and it's just one Reading win at all in that time, including pre-season, so it doesn't feel like too much has changed, really, even though we've been away so long. But hopefully this weekend, but it's going to be a tricky one.
I mean, it did seem on Wednesday night that Reading were going to potentially get that first win of the season at Blackburn Rovers. They were 2-0 up, of course, thanks to John Daddy Bodvarsson, his brace in the first half, but two penalties for Blackburn in the second half, both given away by Paul McShane, meant the game ended 2-2. And sort of, if you compare that to Aston Villa's game, of course, Reading play Aston Villa on Saturday, and that's what we're looking ahead to in this podcast. If you compare that to Villa's game, they also drew 2-2 with Brentford on Wednesday night, but they scored a 94th minute equaliser. So you sort of have two sides going into this game, Tom, with very different moods, not just from Wednesday, but also from the season as a whole as well.
Yeah, it's a sort of a strange one, really. Reading obviously getting a 2-2 draw away and Villa drawing 2-2 at home. You'd imagine the away side would be the happier ones. But I think the players are all gutted that they didn't pick up the win yesterday. It was a big chance to finally do it. The Bolton game was a missed opportunity and Blackburn. So it feels like they're still on a bit of a downer, really. And Villa, yeah, they're going to be buoyed by that. Brentford are a good team and I think Villa are still unbeaten, I think. And they're flying again now. They've got a few new players in and they'll certainly be the happier team going into it. And Reading will go in feeling a bit down in the dumps from the late draw that Blackburn got, really. But I think it could have even been worse on the day. So hopefully they can try and get some positives from it. But yeah, I just feel you have to wonder where that first win's coming from now. And the players are probably feeling similar.
It was the second time this season that Reading have taken the lead in the championship game and not gone on to win the game after the opening day loss to Derby, of course. And really, sort of our heads seem to drop massively whenever we've conceded the goal. Which, I mean, I know that sounds like a fairly obvious thing to say, but sort of this team, well, from me looking at it, certainly this team sort of reacts just so poorly to going behind. They look very, very weak mentally, and sort of it does sort of make you worry sort of what will happen if or when sort of if Villa take the lead on Saturday, you know, because they've got a wealth of very good attacking players.
Yeah, I think it's sort of an easy thing to say that the mental side of it, but I think it is a big problem with this Reading team. I don't think you can go through sort of 6-8 months now and hardly winning any games. It's especially, like you say, they've been leading in two of them. You have to wonder if that first game of the season, had they not let in that that goal right at the end, it might have been a bit of a different story. And I think this awful run, you stretch way back to when they threw away 2-0 lead against Cardiff, and it sort of stemmed ever from there. They can't seem to hold on to a lead anymore, and it's a real worrying trend. And I think Paul Clement's spoken about it as well, the mental side. He tried to say yesterday they were mentally tough to sort of stay in it after getting back to 2-2, but yeah, to concede the lead, I think the disappointing thing as well, obviously the goals are from penalties and not really from open play. And yeah, I think the mental side of it is a big factor at the moment. The players, in terms of the quality, I think they'll match up to most teams in the league, but like you say, when they go behind, it was the same against Bolton. They went 1-0 down, never looked like get back into it. And yeah, same again last night, letting two from going 2-0 up. So it's a big concern. I think there's not a lot you can really do about it other than finally get through or get a win at some point, and then you hope that will change it. And like you say, maybe the first game of the season or last night were the chances to do that, and it hasn't happened then. So you've got to keep working at it. There's no, I don't think, quick fix anyone. Otherwise, obviously, it wouldn't always be a problem for so many teams. And it's a worry, and they say that they need that first win sooner rather than later to try and shake this off a little bit.
Villa are 4-7 favourites to win this game according to the latest odds from Odds Checker, #GambleAware. I mean, they'll certainly be looking to get back to winning ways in front of their own fans after drawing their last two games. And they might sort of feel that Reading, who are 5-1 for the win, are sort of there for the taking. Tony Mowbray called Reading a wounded animal before the Blackburn game, and we are very much still wounded after that 2-2 draw, perhaps more so after the game at Ewood Park. So sort of whilst Steve Bruce will be looking sort of for a response after getting two draws in their last two games. Paul Clement and certainly all of the Reading fans are as well. And sort of Clement knows, we all know that sort of 1 point from five games simply isn't good enough, really. And it's Reading's worst start to a league season in 60 years. You know, and sort of it's all well and good sort of saying, oh, well, we played well against Derby and we played well against Forest and maybe should have got something from then. Bolton might have parked the bus against us after they scored and we were 2-0 up against Blackburn. But the fact of the matter is we are yet to win a league game and sit second from bottom. You know, I think things need to change pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you may probably a bit early to look at the table, but if you do have a look at it, a lot of the teams that are down there are the ones you would have expected. Obviously, QPR, yeah. Rotherham, Ipswich. So those are the teams Reading haven't played yet. So I think there is teams there that are definitely going to be catchable. But I think it's certainly made everyone realise now. I don't think anyone particularly expected to push towards the top anyway. But I think everyone's realised now it's going to be another battle. I can't see Reading finishing higher than in the bottom half at best. I don't think it's going to be a struggle to pick up these points, but yeah, like you said, they just need to get a win at some point sooner rather than later, just to lift the mood a little bit more than anything. They got one game now, another league game next weekend, and then it's an international break, and if you go into that with no wins, everyone's going to be looking at you wondering, are you going to be down in another relegation battle like they have been last season and sort of a couple of seasons aside from when they finished third, a couple of seasons before that they struggled as well. So it's just a general feeling around the club, no matter who seems to be in charge, it's struggling to get the wins. And yeah, it's a valid point. 1 point from four games isn't good enough, and I think you can look at it in some way a little bit of a positive that all those four games they've been well in the game, really. They haven't sort of been outplayed massively in any of them, which I think is something to take from it. But that, like you said, that only really matters if you are picking up some points along the way. So hopefully last night when they've got the Wednesday night, they got the point against Blackburn, hopefully that will kickstart something in terms of they finally got off the mark, and that is one positive in itself. But yeah, it's not been a good enough start, and Saturday against Villa, you can't see that becoming any easier either. So it's just a difficult period, and Paul Clement sort of saying that he thinks it's sort of short-term pain for long-term gain sort of thing with his new style that he's trying to bring in, and so obviously time will tell with that. It's a valid point for him to say, and hopefully it's true, but I think they need to certainly win one of these next two games going into that break, otherwise it's going to be a long couple of weeks.
We are certainly at least in a better position than QPR, who are bottom of the table and have sort of really been outplayed. I mean, they're 7-1 against West Brom and then 3-0 against Bristol City on Tuesday. But they have brought Tom Ahmed and Naki Wells both in on loan today, with both players, of course, linked Reading in the past. So it'll be interesting to see how they might react at the weekend. But I did like to try and bring a bit of optimism to Reading to this section of the show. And also, I mean, that is particularly phasing with the with each passing result. But speaking of Villa specifically, I think whilst they remain unbeaten in the Championship, they sit fifth in the table with two wins and two draws to give them 8 points. Those two draws have come in their last two games, as mentioned, against Ipswich and Brentford, and that might give Reading a little bit of hope perhaps. Ipswich are obviously not particularly fancy this season. Indeed, they're yet to win in game themselves and had 10 men for 50 minutes against Villa, who couldn't really break them down at Portman Road. And then against Brentford, as mentioned, Villa left it incredibly late to nick that 2-2 draw. And sort of we'll hear from a Villa fan in a minute about who's not actually too optimistic about Saturday, but they have stumbled a little bit in the last week, haven't they, Tom?
Yeah, it's over the summer. It was a sort of a turbulent summer, and everyone thought Villa might lose a lot of players and struggle towards the bottom. Obviously, things turned around financially for them a bit, and that's sort of given them a bit of a boost. And I think last season, obviously, we saw Reading last year losing the playoff final, which can have a big impact. But in terms of Villa, you know, I still think they'll be relatively happy. They've still got 8 points, still haven't lost a game. So, and for them, if they can win on Saturday, they'll be in a pretty good position. So, yeah, I think they'll obviously go into it as favourites. They got a good side. They've lost some players. Obviously, lost John Terry, Snodgrass, the goalkeeper, but they brought some in. They think they're looking like they're going to bring Balassi in on loan. And they've got a pretty good side there, and you'd imagine they'll be up towards the top end again come the end of the season. But obviously there's encouragement from the fact that they didn't beat Ipswich, they didn't get the win last night, relying on a late equaliser there. So I think they're probably right now probably not as quite as good as they were towards the end of last season, which I think obviously Reading went up to Villa Park towards the end of last season and well beaten. I don't think Villa are quite in the same shape as they were then, but they're certainly going to be going in as favourites. They've got probably players in better form at the moment, and yeah, I think they'll still be up towards the top end come the end, even if they made the best of the last couple of games.
As mentioned, our Villa fan isn't feeling too optimistic ahead of the game on Saturday, so it's time to hear from him now in The View from the Town End.
The View from the Town End. What do your opposition think?
Right, welcome to The View from the Town End, the part of the show where we get the views of an opposition fan ahead of their game with Reading. And with the Royals travelling up to Aston Villa this weekend, I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by Villa fan and managing editor of our SB Nation sister site, 7500 to Holt, James Rushton. How's it going, James?
I'm all right, man. I hope you're well. I hope you're not well after Saturday, should I say. I'd be crying.
Well, I think you've certainly enjoyed much more pleasant football than we have so far this season.
I wouldn't say I have, honestly. I mean, we have looked quite anemic. I don't know. Is that the right word? It's odd. It's really odd.
Well, I was going to start with how the season's gone so far. You've got 7 points out of a possible nine from three league games. I will point out we are recording this before the midweek fixtures in which Reading face Blackburn and Villa host Brentford. But obviously, because you guys are sort of in the same scenario that Reading were in this time last year, obviously trying to recover from a playoff final defeat. And sort of how have the club reacted on and off the pitch to that losing at Wembley?
I mean, well, we're going to collapse. And you guys will know what it feels like to lose at Wembley. It's like half the stadium split in half.
Yeah.
So one half erupts and the other just falls apart. And it's horrible. And then we almost went into administration as well. So, you know, it was terrible. And I think we're all hoping just to consolidate. But things looked up. The situation completely changed. And I think we really want to kick on and get promoted and, you know, win the league. It's an open league. You know, you look at there's good teams. West Brom and Stoke have come down a bit wobbly to start. It's just that typical thing when you come down. I know the Baggies did do well on the weekend, but it's QPR, you know. It ain't going to take too much from a QPR result. But I think we do want to get promoted. We really do. And it's not just to go up to the Premier League. It's because we feel good about the club again. And it was very hard to do so in the summer when we didn't know what was going to happen. So the expectations are there to win with gusto and to go up at least second or to win the playoffs and, you know, look like we mean business. And so far we kind of haven't. And we have got 7 points, but it's very binary. It's, you know, it's standard input output thinking. If you're just going to look at 7 points and go, that's great. It is great. We didn't have 7 points at this time last season, but they don't feel earned. And I'm not sure if that matters in the big picture, but we don't seem to do much from open play. And that's a worry that we have this decent squad. We've got one of the championship's, you know, better playmakers in Jack Grealish. And we don't seem to have kicked on. And it seems to be, you know, kind of the same problem as last year, but this time we've got points. So I'm not sure where we kind of stand right now.
I think ultimately in the championship, certainly when Reading had their season getting to the playoff final, I think we didn't play particularly well throughout the entire season. We sort of got those points on the board when we needed to. I think obviously that then showed last season where we sort of played similarly, but then didn't get those points. So I think as long as you're getting those points, then it can only be a good thing. I was going to ask about the expectations for the season, because obviously Villa are one of the biggest clubs in the championship, and if not the entire country, really, sort of with their history. They've got the biggest stadium in the championship. Obviously, this is your third season at this level after finishing 13th in 2016-17 and obviously losing the playoff final last year, as mentioned. But you did remain one of the promotion favourites ahead of the season, despite not spending obviously as much as before. But you do manage to keep hold of Grealish, as you mentioned. Is there sort of that expectation sort of that comes with being Aston Villa in the championship?
Yeah, I mean, you automatically, and it's like, I guess it's a good situation, but it's quite, I don't want to sound like high and mighty in this, like ivory tower, you know what I mean? It's Aston Villa finished 13th and then got beat in the playoffs, so it's not that great. But there is an expectation. You've got this big stadium, we've got a big crowd, we're on TV loads, and we should be playing well. There's this kind of thing where if you're a bigger club and you've got a big stadium, you should be playing on the front foot in your home crowd, and we don't do that. And that is a worry under Steve Bruce, that we seem to be very reactive. We play very good football when we're forced to. We don't have an identity. You know, I think under Reading, with Reading, you could say you had an identity under Jaap Stam.
Yeah,
you could
sure,
say
yeah,
you had that, something.
That possession passing philosophy that sort of the Dutch are known for. But obviously, I mean, it didn't necessarily get us results all of the time, but they're certainly an identity. And even under Clement, I think you're still sort of looking at that sort of defensive sort of style of play that he's been known for, both Derby and Swansea, that we've certainly seen at Reading so far.
Yeah, so at times we look like Man City we'll do possession, you know, like a Bielsa team, that philosophy, we'll do that positional play. Then sometimes we'll look very German. We'll look like a Klopp team. We'll be, you know, going for the jugular. We'll be attacking fast on the break rapidly. And we don't have an identity. We just do things. It's really annoying because sometimes, you know, it looks fantastic. When we played Bristol City off the pitch on New Year's Day, 2018, we look fantastic. Like, it's an amazing possession-based side that wasn't, you know, did play on the front foot and just sat back. You know, we had two men back. And the rest of the team were up forward. And we don't do that all the time. We have no idea of who we are or how we play. We just seem to change all the time. And that's really frustrating because when I see Villa and when I see Villa Park, when I take my seat in the whole end, you want to see a team that reflects that in some way. And no matter if it's losing, you want to see an identity being built, and there isn't one. And that strikes me as a massive vulnerability because you don't know what team's going to turn up when you're Aston Villa. You don't know who you're going to be this time out.
I think I think certainly under Stan, right? I think it was sort of split, really. I think sort of half the fans are sort of pleased that we had that identity, sort of that, as I said, that passing possession sort of philosophy. But at the same time, there were some fans who were saying, "Well, we've got this identity, but we're not getting any results out of it." So sort of what comes ahead for you is sort of, as long as you're winning games, as long as you're at the top of the championship, how important is that identity?
I guess if it's a trade off for getting promoted, I guess that's okay. But what happens when you are promoted and Steve Bruce gets sacked in December because we're on like 16 points and we're barely hanging above the mid-table if we're looking at the drop when the fixtures come thick and fast? I'd be worried because I think every philosophy in football can be deployed to great effect if it's, you know, something the players believe in and if the right players are in place to play it and if the crowd's backing it. And we don't seem to in terms of identity, it's more of a plan B. And a plan C, where you can kind of reel off different formations under that identity or different ideas under that philosophy. And we don't have that. And that, it just strikes me as we're a one-track mind team that goes for the win. And yeah, hey, if we get promoted, that's really good. But I always want to be someone who thinks of the future because, you know, you want to look to that with optimism. You don't want to be, and, you know, in this Reading scenario where you develop something, you get to, you know, you get a kick away from the Premier League and it collapses. And yeah, you had that identity, but are you going to call time on Jap Stam, Steve Bruce? Are you going to move forward? It just throws up so much confusion because who knows what happens with Reading now if you get rid of Clement? You know, where does the idea go then? Do you go completely to a different philosophy? And it strikes me as worse not having had that in the first place and having no direction.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Steve Bruce because obviously there were rumours in the summer about potentially Thierry Henry coming in to replace, which would be quite a surprise. I mean, you probably know more than me how much truth there were in those whispers, but obviously Steve Bruce is still at the helm. Is he the man to take Villa forward, or do you think a change perhaps would have benefited the side in the summer?
I think it was the opportunity to change, because I think if we didn't have any issues or financial issues in the summer, I think he would have got sacked. I genuinely think he would have been dismissed after we fell short in the playoffs. But because the financial issues came in and he said he'll stick around, I think Villa felt almost like a debt to him, where they had to kind of stay with him, and they were definitely looking for a new manager. I don't know if it was Thierry Henry, but there was definitely, with the new ownership of Nassef Sawiris and Wes Edens come in, they were definitely looking at getting their own guy in. I'm not sure if it was Thierry Henry, but Steve Bruce stuck around and he stayed. He had his conversations with the ownership and he stuck around, and, you know, they must believe that in the first instance, he's the right guy to take us up. I'm not too sure myself. I think he's a great guy. He's got the pedigree in the game that everyone says.
For sure.
But he hasn't won the championship, I don't think. I think any time he's kind of went up, it's been a last gasp thing. And he hasn't ever succeeded that well in the Premier League. And I think he had a chance with Hull, but they've got massive ownership problems and they weren't going to back him. And I think if they backed him, he may have had a chance. That was his shot. I don't think he's going to get that at Villa. I think the type of players that he would want to buy are not the type of players that we want. And it seems like it's heading for a collision course, and I'm not sure if he's the right guy.
Looking ahead to Saturday then, how much of a challenge do you think that Reading will present to this Villa side? Obviously, what did you make of us last season, and have you paid much attention to our transfer bidders over the summer?
I haven't paid much attention to your transfer window, but I am quite fond of Reading.
That's so nice to hear.
I like them because they hired Jap Stam mainly. I think it was maybe the right thing to do at the the time maybe turned out to be the wrong decision, but I think it was the right thing to do to, you know, breach out and go almost adventurous. But I like that decision making, and I do like Paul Clement as well. I think he's a guy with the right idea. I think he'll turn out to be like another McLaren type in the end. But right now, he seems to have the right ideas if he can't execute them that well. But I do like Reading, and I think they've done well staying up. I don't want to be too condescending. I think they've kind of escaped the pull of League One, and they've got a chance to kind of build on. Again, how I see the match going on Saturday, I rate you guys higher, a little higher than Ipswich, and I think Ipswich are quite bad. And they really took us to, you know, they took us the full 90 minutes, and we, you know, half the match they had 10 men, and they took, and I think of that, and I think they're a team that's rebuilding. They haven't had their manager that long. They've had to loan players from Accrington Stanley. I look at Reading, I see them as a little bit of a step above of that.
Yeah.
And despite the fact we're playing at Villa Park, if Ipswich can do that to us, and with a man down, I don't care if they're home or away, if they're a man down, they're a man down. You guys saw that last season. You collapsed once you got a guy sent off against us. We couldn't break down Ipswich, and that was terrifying, to be honest. I don't know how well we'll do. I want us to. I think we should beat Reading on paper. We should, and I think you look at our team, and you know we could almost beat you by accident, like. But I'm not too convinced this far by Aston Villa. I know Reading haven't picked up any points, and I know you've got Blackburn midweek, but I'm not convinced by us that much. I think it'll be a draw, to be honest.
Who do you think Villa's key player will be in the game?
John McGinn, really. We bought him from Hibernian up in Scotland. He's come in and he's really took every game by the scruff of its neck. He runs like he's like a cartoon dog with his tongue out, his elbows everywhere. He doesn't stop running. He's box to box player, really, you know, fantastic dribbler. And I think he's got something, and I don't want to say that this isn't putting Jack Grealish down, but I think there's something about John McGinn that Jack Grealish doesn't have. And it's behind the scenes, it's cognitive, but I really do think John McGinn is a game changer for us. Jack Grealish had 3 seasons. He's done fantastic last season. He's done well this season. And of course, the bid come in that we turned down. But John McGinn's one I'd look out for because he's all over the place. Never stops running.
Finally, then, I will ask you for your score prediction for Saturday.
I think it will be a 1-1 draw between Villa and Reading.
You're more optimistic about Reading's chances than I am. I think I'm going to go for a 3-1 win to Villa. But listening to your description of Villa season so far, perhaps I should be a bit more optimistic. But I think it was 3-0 at Villa Park last season, so at least 3-1 would be an improvement.
Yeah, I think we're all right. I just think we need to kick on, and I don't know. I think we just maybe need to freshen up if that's a manager change or a change of identity. Then we need to find it, and we need to find it quick, because the Championship it chews you up and spits you out, as you well know. It's not a great league.
I think from Reading, obviously, we're speaking before the Blackburn game, so it depends. I think a lot of it depends on both Reading's result at Blackburn and Villa's result against Brentford. But my thanks then to you, James, for joining me on The View from the Town, and all the best on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
No problem, thanks for having me on.
No worries at all. It's now time then for me and Tom to discuss Reading's team news ahead of Saturday and pick up preferred lineups for the trip to Villa Park.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview, and it's time to look at the team news for Saturday's game. Injury-wise, Tom, who are we unlikely to see this weekend? Obviously, we saw Thiago Elori miss the Blackburn game with a thigh problem. Could he potentially return? The likes of Pelle Clement, Adrian Popp and Omar Richards also weren't included in the squad for the trip to Ewood Park, but I suspect was that perhaps just more due to a lack of space in the squad?
Yeah, I think so. Now I think the squad's getting bigger and bigger. Obviously, Mo Barrow and Aluko came back in the other night, and I think they're obviously first choice, and that means people like Clement and Popper had to miss out. In terms of Elori, it sounds like he's sort of touch and go still. They picked up an injury in training on Monday, I think it was, and yeah, so it's they'll have to come to keep a bit of an eye on that one. But yeah, I think in terms of the rest of them, they're still going to be pretty much the same until probably the international break now. Obviously, Gunter and Edwards, Abita and a couple of others, McCleary, they're all getting back, getting closer, but I don't think it's likely to Harry. Yeah, I think he's a bit even further behind those ones, I think, as well. So I don't think any of them will be back for the weekend, definitely. So it's going to be a case of the same squad. I imagine there'll be changes again. There tends to be. Clement likes to try and freshen up the squad a bit, and obviously they still haven't got the first win, so still looking for a winning lineup. But in terms of injuries, I think it's going to be pretty similar to the other night, and hopefully with Thiago Laurie back involved.
All that considered, then, Tom, what would your team be for Saturday?
Yeah, I think it would still stick with Vito in goal. There's been a few calls for Walker, but I think no reason really to change that just yet. Then Yedlin at right back, Blackett stay at left back. I don't think there's too much question there. In the middle, Liam Moore, and then, as we say, it depends on Thiago. I think if he's fit, I think he'll play. Yeah. Obviously, McShane had the difficulty of the night, and I think it was quite close between him and Thiago before that anyway, so I think Thiago Laurie will play if he's fit. Midfield, I've gone for Josh Sims. I think he might give him a go from the start. I think against Villa it's going to be a lot of tracking back, defensive work. Aluko, obviously perhaps not fully fit still after played an hour on Wednesday night after coming back from injury, so I'd go for Sims over him. Barrow on the left, I think, has to play. And then in the middle, I think he'll probably go back to Myler and Kelly, who played most of the games this season. Myler got off rest the other night.
Yep.
And I think Kelly's the one who will probably play in there with him. And then I'd stick with Bodvarsson up front and probably go with Swift playing off him, as has happened again. I think it was against Derby. That was the two up front. I think got to keep Bodvarsson in after his goals. Yep. And I think it's going to probably be a case of two banks of four and then try and catch him on the break, Villa. I think it'll be a similar approach to the Forest and Derby games with Swift playing just behind. I think Baldock played at Forest but came off after about an hour, so I think he might use him on the bench this time again and go with Swift and Bodvarsson. But there's a few decent options. It's just obviously none of the strikers other than Bodvarsson are scoring at the moment, and I've left Matey out there as well, who's had a good start to the season, but I think he wants to try and keep it fresh and keep rotating these guys in and out, especially on the wing. So I think that'll be what I would go with on Saturday.
Yeah, I think certainly Matey sort of looked very, very tired after about an hour on Wednesday night, so might be a good idea to rest him. And obviously you mentioned Bodvarsson there, who's actually he's got all three of Reading's championship goals this season, so hopefully someone else might be able to pop up on Saturday. I've gone actually for a fairly similar team, two changes to that one. I've gone for Manone and Gold as well, a back four of Yeardom, Moore, Thiago Alori and Tyler Blackett. I've gone with David Myler alongside Bakuna instead of Kelly in midfield, with Josh Sims and Mo Bauer on the wings as well. And I've gone with Bodvarsson and Mark McNulty off. And I've been quite impressed, actually, with what I've seen from McNulty so far. I mean, he might not have scored, but his link-up play has actually really impressed me. He flicked the ball for Yaku Meite's goal against Birmingham in the Carabao Cup.
Mm. Yeah, he's had a sort of interesting start, really. I think it's a case of maybe trying a bit too hard at times with him. I think he's so eager to impress and do well. We're eager to get that first goal. Yeah. And it'd be an interesting one to start him. I just think, obviously, Swift didn't play at all the other night, and he tends to play at least one game a week. I think he might come back in. But McNulty, I think he's certainly got something about him. He could have scored, I think, yesterday, Wednesday night. Could have put that chance in as soon as after he came on. But as soon as he gets a goal, I think he'll be a lot more relaxed. And him and Baldock together look quite good at times as well. So you can see what he's got, see what he's been brought in. But he just needs to get that first goal, and I think that'll settle him down a little bit.
That's one of the differences in the lineups. But perhaps the key one comes in midfield, where I've gone with Bakuna and you went with Kelly. But I mean, I think for me that this is sort of a picking the best of a bad two. I don't think either have been particularly impressive this season at all. I mean, I hope I'm not being harsh, but I mean, I mentioned this on Twitter last night after the Blackburn game, and there are plenty of players sort of who I would begin to drop out of this team, but really realistically, there's very few sort of replacement options. And sort of the loan window is still open for another week. Do you think we could potentially see someone come in maybe in the middle of the park? Obviously, we've seen Jay Fulton has been linked, but that sort of seems to have gone a bit cold.
Yeah, they're certainly trying to bring someone in during the actual transfer window, but it sounds like now they're sort of selling with what they've got, which it might be a bit of a worry to some people to hear that, but it doesn't sound like, unless something comes a bit out of the blue, it sounds like they're not really going to make any more loan moves now. The squad in terms of numbers is quite big, so you can understand it from that perspective. In terms of if he's going to play 4-4-2, I guess you'd say Swift or Kelly could be interchangeable, but he's used Swift a bit further forward this season. And then you look at it and it's just Myler, Bakuna and Kelly, and I guess Pella Clement played there a bit in pre-season, but he doesn't seem keen on using him there. So that leaves you with Kelly and Bakuna. I think Bakuna, you like to say, not been great this season. I think he grew into the game a bit last night, but playing with him and Milo might be a bit conservative both together. And I think obviously quite a few fans have not been too impressed with Kelly so far either. But He does offer something a bit more creative in there if he can find a bit of form. So yeah, like I say, best of a bad bunch is obviously one way of putting it. But in terms of the options, obviously you've got Edwards as well, still injured. But so they've got players there. It doesn't sound like they're going to bring any more in. So someone's going to have to step up there and make that position their own. I think it certainly is up for grabs. But so he's played Kelly every game so far. That's probably just why I've stuck with him for now for this one.
I think certainly when all his players, as we mentioned, have come back from sort of those long-term injuries, that the squad certainly does bulk out a little bit. But one man who has come in on loan and who we both picked to start is Josh Sims, who arrived from Southampton on Monday. He came on for the final half an hour against Blackburn, and he didn't make a massive impact, but certainly for the large part, this seems like quite a decent signing. I think certainly Southampton fans sort of appear quite disappointed that they let him go out on loan.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of him at Saints, and I know a couple of Saints fans. I spoke to them about him, and yeah, I think they wanted him to sort of get a chance in the team, or one of them said sort of Championship would be a good loan for him. So yeah. I think it's quite a big move for him. He's obviously came in and out the side a little bit at Saints. A few different managers have been there since he's been involved in the team, and like you said, when he arrived, it's a chance for him to get a run of games going. So I don't think he's going to be happy coming in and not playing. But that's probably one of the biggest positions for competition, maybe on the wings. Like you say, when everyone is fit, you've got Maluka and Barrow there, and McCleary not too far away. So if he does start, he's going to have to Popper as well. Yeah, if he's still here, and then Mate's played out there as well. So if he does get the start, he's going to have to grab the opportunity. I think, like I say, on Wednesday night, he didn't really do much at all when he came on, which is a bit of a shame. I think Maluka was quite good out there, but faded in terms of probably fitness. So Maluka is probably ahead in Clement's thinking right now, but I think Sims will probably get a start to prove himself, and that could come this weekend. I think Clement said after the Bolton game he was looking to bring in a winger who will defend as well as attack. I think that was a sort of a subtle message to some of the ones he got in his team at points last season, maybe. But so I think he'll probably pick him for these away games to get up and down that flank and try and provide something, a good energy. And yeah, like you say, I think it'd be good for him to get a start, and we'll see what he's about. And Villa away, why not throw him in there and see what he can do?
Neither of us have gone with Paul McShane after his two errors on Wednesday. I mean, he was also at fault for Bolton's goal last weekend, so I mean, it hasn't really been the best of starts to season for him. Do you think Paul Clement sort of feels some sort of obligation to play him because McShane is the captain? I mean, say Thiago Laurie isn't fit for the Villa game, do you think Paul McShane keeps his place, or does someone like John O'Shea come in for a first start?
I think McShane would probably keep his place if Laurie's not fit. Say he's known him for quite a while, Clement. I'm not sure if it's an obligation. I think if we were having this conversation last season at points, I don't think anyone would want Ilori anywhere near the team really either. So he's had a good little run, Thiago Ilori, but he's not without fault. But yeah, I think right now, I think it was a bit harsh for him to be dropped after those first couple of games. And Clement admitted as much after he had dropped him, he sort of said that he can feel hard done by, you know, he played well in those first couple of games. But I suppose McShane sort of had the shirt before that and kept it, and maybe now will be time to have a look at it and reconsider it. But he obviously is the captain, like you say, and I'm not sure if it's an obligation to play, but I think when you are the captain, I guess you are sort of naturally ahead of some of the others in the pecking order. But you got to perform on the pitch, and McShane will know that as well as anyone else, and there's good competition there now. Obviously, I think Liam Moore is the clear first choice, and then I think if Laurie comes in with him and can play well with him, he can form that partnership. But as I say, it sounds like fitness-wise, he might not be quite ready, and I'm not sure if he'd start O'Shea ahead of McShane after one poor game in terms of the Blackburn game. But I think so that second penalty, again, I'm not entirely sure it was a penalty still. He dived in on it a bit. It was reckless from McShane, but I think he'll be desperate to prove a point. So if he does play, I think he'll be keen to put in a good performance. But yeah, I think if Ilori's fit, I think he'll come in, because I think the choice between him and Paul McShane was really close before the injury anyway, so I think it'd probably be a chance to change it up on Saturday.
You might potentially see Tyler Blackett move inside with Omar Richards going at left back, but Clement doesn't seem particularly keen on Richards for whatever reason. But I think for me, Thiago Laurie's certainly come on at one of the best players sort of under Paul Clement, and he certainly deserves his chance. And as you say, I think perhaps without McShane, I think if you wanted sort of a leader in that side, I think you have got Liam Moore, who obviously captained the team in the Carabao Cup, and potentially if O'Shea does replace McShane, and that's sort of a like-for-like sort of leadership swap.
Yeah, I put sort of a poll out on Twitter, which obviously they're not always the most reliable things, but a couple of weeks ago, and everyone was overwhelmingly wanted DeLorean more in the team, so that seems to be the consensus. And yeah, I think I'd go along with that at the moment.
I will end this Aston Villa preview then, Tom, by asking you for your prediction. We both perhaps naively predicted a 2-1 win against Blackburn on Wednesday night, which did seem as though it might come off for a short while. But boy, what are you going to go with for Saturday? Are Reading going to pick up their first league win of the season?
I think it's unlikely, but you never know. That's probably why I went for it, because I think eventually they are going to get one of these wins when nobody's really expecting it. But I think this weekend, I think Villa are just going to be too strong, basically. And like I say, I think Reading will probably set up to try and take a point, and I think Villa will eventually get their way through, and I'm going to go for 2-0 to Villa.
No, I'm not overly confident either. I mean, it's just pretty hard to be confident right now. I've gone with 3-1 to Villa, and to be honest, I find it fairly difficult to see sort of where those first 3 points that, you know, might come out. I think we've got Sheffield Wednesday next weekend, then it's the international break, and then we've got Preston away, which is a tricky game. I think then we've got Norwich at home, who admittedly haven't started the greatest, and then Hull at home. So potentially you're looking at those two home games against Norwich and Hull, potentially Reading's best chance to sort of get that first win. But even that comes after the trip to Villa, the game against Wednesday, and the trip to Preston.
Yeah, obviously things can change so quickly. Yeah. If they can somehow get a win on Saturday, then it'll look a lot different. I think Sheffield Wednesday certainly a winnable game. I don't think they're particularly great at the moment. Obviously they've had the transfer embargo lifted, I think, now, so they could bring in players then. But Sheffield Wednesday, I think they could win, and that's the thing. All four of these games, Reading have been in all four of them. They've played a couple of decent sides in that as well. Yeah. So I don't think it's all over just yet. I think there's certainly some winnable games amongst that list you just said there, and if they can win a couple of them, suddenly things will look a bit different. But I am well aware that this is the sort of thing I was saying for most of last season, and it never really changed. But yeah, I think this Saturday is going to be a difficult one. It would have been so great to go up there with a win and 3 points, just for a little bit less pressure on the Villa game. But I think they need to win one of these next two, however it comes, and go into that break with 4 points. It will probably be out the relegation zone with that, and then they go into the 2 week break. So yeah, I think next Saturday is going to be a big game if they can't pick up the 3 points this week.
Reading might just surprise us for once, but I'm not holding my breath. But we can live in hope as we wrap up today's show. Before we do sign off, though, I'll give a quick plug to the main podcast, Roy, which was released last Sunday morning with Mark Mayo, joined by Will Jones, to look back on that Bolton game. So go back and listen to that if you haven't already. Mark will be back in the aftermath of the Villa game, so that could be an interesting show. So depending on how that game pans out. As for this show, the weekend preview, myself and Tom will be back next week to look ahead to the return to the Maneski Stadium after two away games as Reading host Sheffield Wednesday, as mentioned. In the meantime, make sure to check out thetardisden.com for all the pre- and post-match coverage of the Villa game. On a similar note, Tom, what can we look forward to on the Woking paper in the next week or so?
Yes, we'll have the Villa preview coming out tomorrow or Friday as you're listening to this, and then I'll be at the Watford game on Wednesday night as well. I think that's next week. Yeah, so that's at the Madstad, so there'll be plenty from there to cover. And then obviously we've got the women's team as well, playing Man United on Saturday, so I've got a preview up for that as well. So that's on wokenandpaper.com and up on Twitter at Tom J. Crocker.
Is that in the Continental Cup North? And that Reading have been drawn.
It is in the Continental Cup North. I know. It's nobody knows why. The players and the managers have no idea why, but they are in the north section with all the teams from a long way up north. So it's another long trip for them on Saturday.
They did get off to a winning start last weekend, didn't they, with a Farrah Williams hat trick?
Yeah, that was Adam Park on Saturday Sunday for that one. It's nice to watch a Reading team winning, so that's probably why I go along to it. It's they play good stuff, and they comfortably beat Durham 4-1. So yeah, they got Man United, Liverpool and Everton in this tough group, but they'll fancy their chances, I think, against Man United on Saturday at midday.
I think United have got off to, they beat Liverpool 1-0 in that first game, so the two sides that have won their opening game in that group go head-to-head this weekend. Fantastic stuff then, Tom. Thank you very much for joining me on the weekend preview this week. Maybe having you back on the show might prove a lucky charm to Reading.
We'll hope so. First game back was the cup game against Birmingham, and they won that one, so fingers crossed.
And thank you at home for listening to this week's show. Safe trip up to Villa if you're going to the game on Saturday, and come on yours.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast, by Reading fans, for Reading fans.